So thank you very much again for coming. My name is Ajay Nair. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Horticulture at Iowa State. And I'm going to talk about a project which we conducted for 2 years, 2012 and 2013, at the Horticulture Research Station in Ames, Iowa. And this study was done by myself and help from my graduate student, Jennifer Tillman is here, and Ray Cruzy. So the topic is cover crops. So you would, you know, if you talk about cover crops in Iowa and other Midwestern states, the number one cover crop that comes into everybody's mind is rye, cereal rye. Very common. Corn growers use it. Soybean growers use it. It's part of the nutrient reduction strategy for the state. But vegetable growers, we are blessed with the opportunity of, you know, trying something different, you know, because we have flexibility in the type of crops we grow. So if for a vegetable grower, you know, they have to juggle a lot of aspects. You know, they have to worry about nutrient management, crop rotation. That's very important to keep the diseases away, you know, pests and diseases, soil microorganisms. So to encompass all this, you know, cover crops play a very handy role because they can be inserted into a crop rotation system, improve your soil, improve the water holding capacity, the organic matter, and move on with another crop. So I just gave you some of the points there of what are the advantages with cover crops, adding organic matter, reducing soil erosion, nitrogen resource if it's a legume cover crop, and then compaction, and also recycling. And this is where the genesis of the project is. So if you're a vegetable grower in Iowa or any other Midwestern state, you know, most of the time you'll have an early season crop. You have lettuce or broccoli. And then usually growers might leave their land fallow for a month or so, 40, 45 days, if they are not growing tomatoes or cucumbers, and they will follow up with another cash crop in the fall. So then we have this window, this 1.5, 45-day, 50-day window where nothing is growing. So you have to manage the weeds. And how do you manage the weeds? You till. And you don't want to till, Rebecca, and lose this all organic matter, right? So that's where we thought about how about trying some cover crops in the mix, some summer cover crops, which are short duration. So we tried four different cover crops, sorghum Sudan grass, cowpea for nitrogen, buckwheat, and oats also. Actually, instead of, it's not oats, it's a control plot. We did not put oats in that treatment. So if you look at an ideal situation, you know, if you're following sweet corn or maybe another early season vegetable, mix this cover crop in there and follow up with your next crop. So it was a randomized complete block design. The whole plot was the cover crop. So we had buckwheat, cowpea, and sorghum Sudan grass. And then the subplot, this was also interesting because, you know, as the season goes on, day length reduces, temperature goes down, really down, you know, in September and all, starts getting cold back in Iowa. So we thought, how can we increase the soil temperature? So the split plot was using different types of plastics and see how these plastics work. So we used the standard black plastic, which most of the vegetable growers use in Iowa, a blue plastic, a red-colored one, and a white plastic as well. So try to see how that affects the soil temperature and also the crop quality. The crop we grew was lettuce. It's the butterhead type. This is actually the seeding of the cover crop, which was done on June 20th in 2012 and July 10th, a little bit late in 2013 because of, you know, we were inundated with rain and the soil was super saturated. We just used a regular drop seeder to seed our cover crops. This is what the biomass looked like. This was on seeded June 20th and the harvest on August 21st. So it's about 60 days. We let it grow for a longer time. This is sorghum Sudan grass. And boy, you know, 7 feet, 8 feet, this is where I want to be when my wife is angry with me. Because she cannot find me if I'm in there. So, but we got some decent cover crop biomass. This is the sorghum Sudan grass. We have cowpea, and I was really impressed with the amount of biomass the cowpea generated, and no weeds at all in the canopy down there, in the soil down there. We seeded cowpea at a 90 pounds per acre rate. We have this is all at the time of termination of the cover crop. This is buckwheat, was seeded at 45 pounds per acre, so pretty decent. We were a little bit longer on the cover crop here because some of the buckwheats were going to seed, and we did see some volunteers coming back again. And this was the control plot. We did not do anything there, so we just let the weeds grow and see, you know, what kind of biomass we can generate with the weeds. Later, we came back, put the different colored plastic there, and we transplanted lettuce, a cultivar called Nancy. This is from Johnny Seeds. It's a butterhead type. And that is gaining more and more popularity because of the flavor, because of the size. And it's a niche market for growers who grow butterhead type. You see the treatments there, different colored plastic with different soil cover crops in there incorporated. At the time of the biomass collection, when we did the biomass, the dry weight, we got significant, you know, very high biomass here. This is the dry weight. And you would imagine, you know, sorghum Sudan grass, about 15,000 pounds per acre. And that's because, I mean, if you look in the literature, you'll see anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 pounds. We got 15 because we are actually accounting for the root biomass also. So this is the shoot and the root biomass. Cowpea, somewhere close to 5,000 pounds per acre. Buckwheat, again in the same ballpark. So a significant amount of organic matter going back into the soil. So since we are using different plastics, we thought, let's see what's the amount of light that is reflecting from this from these plastics, because that was part of our hypothesis that, you know, more light reflecting back will have, you know, the plants will be growing better with more light coming their way. So we took readings a couple of times during the season. This is from actually mid-October and early November, and you could see the mid-October numbers. Black plastic, not much light being reflected back. This is using a Lycor meter. Blue about 123, red and white reflecting the most. Early November, this is a day when it's cloudy. So you could see how the numbers have dramatically dropped. So depending upon the time of the day when you take the readings, these readings could change considerably. But again, white was reflecting the most. We had put soil temperature sensors also in there to see how the temperature of the soil varies with these different types of plastics. And it was surprising to see that the difference was not that much. And this is average across the season. So the black plastic, we average about 52 degree Fahrenheit. You know, blue and red were in like 51 range, and white was 50. So it's not like there was like a 5 degree or a 10 degree difference. So not much of a difference.
What soil depth was?
This was at 6 inch, at 6 inch depth.
This is fall or season long?
So this is we planted in August and harvested end of September.
That's what I'm
Yeah. Actually, October. We are harvested in October. So it's kind of temperature going down with the white plastic. If you look at the marketable yield, we did find some significant differences just with the cover crop, nothing with the plastic. It was non-significant. So with the cover crops, the control plot, if you look at the marketable weight, about 1 kilogram. This is a 10-feet plot, each treatment. Cowpea was the highest. We got about 1.6 kilogram of lettuce from that treatment. Buckwheat was the lowest, the low one, 0.3, 300 grams. And sorghum Sudan grass, you'll see zero. And that's because none of the lettuce crop that came out from the sorghum Sudan plot was marketable. And so if you look at the picture here, this is what the sorghum Sudan plot looked like as the season progressed. So for some reason, the growth of the lettuce in those cover crop plots were just held back. It could be allelopathy. It could be tying up of nitrogen, although we did provide nitrogen with the drip irrigation. But big difference with the control and the sorghum Sudan grass treatment. So if you just focus on those plants, these were all, and these plants stayed like this throughout the season. They did not grow out of it. We did measure the SPAD, the indirect chlorophyll measurement, leaf number, and the leaf area at the time of harvest. And SPAD, we did find some differences. You know, buckwheat, the control plot, and the cowpea had statistically similar SPAD values. Sorghum Sudan was low, although 23.7 still seems to be high, but they were not doing that great. They were mostly yellowish. Leaf number, we did see that the control and the cowpea had more leaves let per plant. And then sorghum Sudan, again, the lowest, and the same trend with the leaf area. You could see that the sorghum Sudan has only like 435 square centimeter of total leaf area, whereas the cowpea did the best. So the cowpea is definitely helping the system with some added nitrogen in there. So that was the effect of the cover crop. The plastic mulch also affected some of the factors in there. Spad, there was no significant difference. Leaf number, and this was interesting, the red plastic, for the lettuce that was growing, or the red plastic had more leaves per plant. And same with the leaf area. So maybe with the wavelength of the light that is being reflected, which is benefiting the crop. But if you look at the total marketable weight, it didn't make any difference, the plastics. And then the leaves again, the white, you know, reflecting the most, but the leaf area was the least in the white plastic with 838. So those were some observations we made from this study. Again, whole objective is to, you know, encourage growers to incorporate cover crops, and cowpea seems to be something which they are willing to use, and we have talked to some growers who are interested. We did some on-farm studies as well. And I would like to thank people who are behind this, not just myself, grad students, all grad students, undergraduate students, the funding agencies, you know, and support we get from the local and the national and the regional organizations. And we do have a lab website there and a blog where we post the results and whatever fun thing is going on in the lab. So with that, I'll be more than happy to take questions. Yeah, Rebecca. I've not done any analysis of looking into a table, but I would say, you know, temperatures soon after August hits, I mean, this time the temperatures start slowly going down. Some days in August you'll have really high temperatures, 85, 90s, but then the temperatures go down pretty quickly. So even though people talk about growing crops in the fall, but in Iowa with the day length reducing, it's really hard. It's difficult. So I can't give you the real numbers, you know. Yeah, Carlos.
How long did you leave? Let's put it. After you kill the cover crop, how many days after you plant?
That's a very interesting question. Of how long did we wait? We actually did not wait at all. So we tilled it in and we planted, just because of the degree days what Rebecca talked about. And that's interesting because, you know, there is a plant back period, just like rye for sorghum Sudan grass. So out of this came another project, which my grad student is working right now, and we are looking at two plant back periods with sorghum Sudan grass, 7-day and 10-day. And so far we haven't seen much of a difference, but 10-day is doing better than the 7. So I believe a lot is with the, you know, soon planting the lettuce after the sorghum Sudan. 2 weeks, yeah, same with rye, yeah. Yeah, Eugene? No, we did not give any nitrogen credit. So we provided the same amount, assuming, you know, that the cover crop, so that we can see the benefit of cover crop. So if we give that benefit, we could get the benefit if you reduce it by saying that you apply less, but we applied the same, and then, you know, so just to see the effect of the benefit of cover crop in that system.
And
yeah.
How much and what form do you use?
So we use the nitrate form. So initially we start with the 20-20-20. And then we followed up with the, we had potassium nitrate in the mix. Sometimes we even use the UAN, 28% in the system, in the drip system, yes.
Do you know how much you put in?
I would say somewhere between 60 to 80 pounds per acre. Yeah, we did not push in a lot.
Let's use probably 125, 130.
Okay, yeah, so we thought, you know, being in the middle of the range. With the organic matter, we are in a pretty good soil there, you know, anywhere from 3.5 to 4% organic matter. Okay, one more question.
Yes, did you actually measure the temperature difference between the different plastic amounts on specific day? I mean, it's measured during the peak.
Uh-huh.
Of the day.
We do have the tables, and I would say the average difference, you know, could anywhere range from between black plastic and white plastic could range anywhere from like 3 to 4 degrees. But as the season progressed, you know, things evened out. So at the end, you got only like two degree difference between the black and the white. I'll definitely answer the questions after the session. So we'll keep moving.